is news to me with DJ Marcus.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. All right. Well, Jazz Maz is probably there. In August, a California court ordered Uber and Lyft to reclassify more than 100,000 drivers as regular employees. The two companies, which depend on a business model that defines drivers as contractors, got the decision lifted for at least a few months. But in the meantime, their threat to shut down operations in California...
Oh, hello. Hello. We are coming to you, or I am coming to you, live from the roof. I drove the car again today, but it is a beautiful day. It is 18 degrees C, just about my perfect temperature. I think I'm a 17 degree boy myself. I think that's about the right temperature for me. So, it's wonderful. Not a cloud in the sky. It's just beautiful. But hello, hello, welcome. It's a little late. It's 1907 UTC, but you are tuned in to news to me. So, let's get that intro. It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes. Hello, hello. Greetings to Calm. I have made my way to my favorite little spot in the shade on the roof. So... now I can talk and say howdy. Howdy to Stug and Ronald. Let's see. We got Stug, Ronald, Connor H. A ham exam. I took a couple of those. Liquid Dreams. Welcome, welcome. And welcome to everybody in Calm hanging out and having a good time. It is time for some news. Boy, there's a lot going on. But as I said, it's a beautiful day. It's just work is interesting. They're going to try out a new tracking system. They don't quite know how they're going to use it or what the metrics are going to be, but we're going to use it. So come on, guys, get with the program. So it's one of my Sinister, welcome, howdy howdy. So it's one of my favorite kind of things at work. An initiative without any plan or structure built around it. And no thought put into it other than, hey, let's do this. Anyway, that all said, that's why I'm late, so I'm sorry about that. Be back tomorrow, hopefully on time and with plenty of delicious news. But let's go ahead and get started the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right. So we're going to begin with some follow-ups, because wouldn't you know it? there's a bunch of stuff that happened. Let's go over here to bookmarks. Go bookmarks, desktop bookmarks, bookmarks, menu, news to me, January 5th, 2023. I don't know if I said that or not. It is January 5th, 2023, and it is 1909, about to be 1910 UTC. So, first, the update. I don't remember if I mentioned these to you, so I'm just going to give them to you straight. The guy who drove the Tesla, he intentionally drove it off of that cliff. The helicopters that collided, a video has surfaced from the cockpit. And basically, the two helicopters that collided, I was able to get more information about that. And the helicopters that collided, they were SeaWorld tourist helicopters in Australia. And one helicopter was flying, was already doing a route. These are the ones, the people that survived. The helicopter going up, there was a helicopter launching that went straight up and flew directly into the helicopter above it. And its rotor smashed through the cockpit or the front of the helicopter before it fell to the ground. A small child is in critical condition, but four people are dead. But anyway, some videos come from that. So I wanted to be sure and give you those kind of like updates. Hey, LD Beth, welcome. All right. So in Nigeria, let's get on with the death and destruction. In Nigeria, a shipwreck has resulted in 10 people dying. 10 bodies were fished out of the Niger River in Nigeria's northern Kebbi state on Wednesday after an overloaded boat with about 100 passengers split in two. The dilapidated vessel was crossing the river and broke in two as it approached the village of Semanji in Kokobese district. It had taken on passengers way beyond its capacity, according to Yahaya Bello Koko, a district official. We found 10 passengers with the help of local divers, and we're still looking for 10 more. They are presumed drowned, considering the number of hours they spent in the river. More than 80 passengers were rescued. Federal or state authorities were not immediately available. Accidents involving boats are common. They are often linked to overloaded vessels, exceeding speed, poor maintenance, and disregard for navigation rules. In October, at least 80 people drowned in two shipwrecks, and I believe we talked about those. Really, really a horrible... I think drowning's low on my list of ways to die. Hold on, I'm going to cough. Sorry about that. Allergies. While the sky is clear and the temperature is wonderful, it also means that hundreds of acres of juniper trees... or juniper cedar. We call them something. We call them cedar trees here, but they're not real cedars. They're something else. Juniper something trees. But, oh, man, do they do a number. You live in Austin for a decade, and it doesn't bother you. But, man, if you don't move out before that 10th year, it's going to get you. That's just a tip from me to you, being here 15, 20 years, something like that. Anywho, howdy Ratsu, welcome. Thanks for being here, thanks for hanging out. And shout out to Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. That show airs every goddamn day at 19:30 UTC, so it's in just about 17 minutes from now we'll get into that. So let's get going, let's keep on moving. What else is happening? What's going on? Well, 10 people in Nigeria died in a boat wreck. Always a bummer. In China, let's talk about COVID, because COVID... Believe it or not, despite the fact that nobody wears a mask and we just kind of live our lives, at least that's what's going on in Austin a lot of times, growing number of Chinese public figures whose deaths are made public is prompting people to question the official COVID death toll. The death of Chu Lan Lan, a 40-year-old opera singer last month, came as a shock to many given how young she was. Her family said they were saddened by her abrupt departure but didn't give details. China scrapped its zero COVID policy in December and seen a surge of infections and deaths. There are reports of hospitals and crematoriums being overwhelmed. But the country has stopped publishing daily cases data and has announced only 22 COVID deaths since December, using its own strict criteria. Hey, it's a little wolf spider running around here. On Wednesday, the World Health Organization warned that China was underrepresenting the true impact of COVID in the country. But the deaths of Chu Lanlan and others is sparking speculation about greater losses than those reported. According to the specialist news website Opera Wire, Chu Lanlan was a soprano who specialized in Peking opera, a theatrical art in which performers use speech, song, dance, and combat movements to tell stories. On New Year's Day, news of the death of actor Gong Jintang devastated many Chinese internet users. He was 83 years old and known to many households for his performance in the country's longest-running TV series, In-Laws Outlaws. And let's see. Acclaimed screenwriter Ni Zhen was also among recent deaths. He was 84 years old. Hu Fuming, a former journalist and retired professor, died in January, but he's 87. 16 scientists from the country's top science and engineering academies recently died. So anyway, it just goes on and on and just kind of points out, hey, a lot of famous people are dying from COVID. So it's a bummer. But that's kind of, what's the way to put it? That's what happens with this thing. It kills a lot of people, especially when the load is high in an area. Speaking of that, the Ebola outbreak is under control in Uganda, finally. Uganda's Ebola outbreak nearly under control, says Africa's CDC. Africa's top public health body has said the Ebola outbreak in Uganda was coming under control, as it had been 39 days since the last confirmed case. The Africa CDC's acting director, Ahmed Agwel Uma, told a news briefing on Thursday that if no new cases were reported in Uganda by January 10th, then the outbreak is over. Officials first confirmed the outbreak in September and said it was the Sudan strain of the disease, for which there is no proven vaccine. In December 2022, Uganda discharged its last known Ebola patient from hospital, and President Yoweri Museveni lifted all Ebola-related movement restrictions, reflecting progress. Uma praised Uganda's excellent coordination of Ebola containment measures, saying it had taken about 70 days to bring the outbreak under control, with 142 confirmed cases and 55 deaths. And just big shout out to Uganda. They, despite having varied reputation, being good and bad, they really know how to treat Ebola and contain an outbreak, man. They are really handling it way better than a lot of people, so a lot of countries. So shout out to them. All right. Oh boy. The world. There's so much damn sadness in the world, and I promise I'm not trying to just bring sad stuff, but let's talk about more death. A family of eight, including five children, have been found shot dead in a rural home in Enoch City in the U.S. state of Utah. Officials didn't disclose a motive for the shooting or the exact relationship between the family members. Police found the bodies on Wednesday while conducting a welfare check. City manager Rob Dotson said the town of about 8,000 people was in shock. This community at this time is hurting. They're feeling lost. They're feeling pain. And they have a lot of questions. He added that the family was well known in the town and that police would release further information as the investigation continued. The town is about 245 miles or 394 kilometers south of Salt Lake City. And the five children that were found dead attended schools across the Iron County School District, which released a statement expressing its sorrow. So it's kind of a sad one there. Not really sure. They don't have any information about why these kids were killed, but they're gone. Here, let's talk about nuclear power. Nuclear power is something that is less sad, but although if you are a fan of nuclear power, these might be sad stories to you. Jay LaMoth knows all about the Utah. Watch out, world. let me make sure I've accepted. Accept. All right, cool. All right. So, so it was south of Salt Lake City, about 200 miles south of there. So let's talk about nuclear power. That always perks things up. And if it doesn't perk it up, just wait. You'll get some neutrinos in you, and then you'll feel all better. France should be in a strong position as Europe reels from the energy crisis, drawing on their renowned nuclear industry that supplies the lion's share of its power. But France's nuclear sector has been going through a tricky time as a significant portion of its reactors have had to close for maintenance. Analysts blame a mixture of bad luck and the consequences of a political deal from a decade ago. As the Russian invasion of Ukraine prompted Europe's energy crisis and climate change is racking the world, you'd expect France to be patting itself on the back on its vast fleet of nuclear power stations. Nuclear produces barely any CO2 and doesn't leave countries relying on Vladimir Putin's Russia. France went all in on nuclear after the OPEC embargo sparked the 1973 oil shock, which is kind of funny because it's like, oh yeah, we've had oil crises a few different times. It's just one of those things. That's why nuclear power is so cool. You can secure a years and years long supply of fuel and then just put it in a truck. Anyway, France went all in except, unlike Britain, for example, which tapped the abundant fossil fuel reserves in the North Sea, and now is one of the countries worst affected by energy inflation. Nuclear power produces 70% of France's energy, the highest proportion in the world, thanks to its long-term strategy known as the Mesmer Plan, named after its architect, then Prime Minister Pierre Mesmer, to nourish domestic nuclear expertise and build a large fleet of reactors. Obviously, there is the fact that France did not have large reserves of coal or gas, and they weren't able to start drilling in the North Sea, and there was also the Gaullist desire to ensure national independence, while France already had a certain amount of nuclear expertise because it had its independent nuclear weapons system, known as the Force de Frappe, explained Jacob Kierkegaard, a senior fellow in economics and trade at the German Marshall Fund Brussels Bureau. Largely thanks to its policy stretching back to the 70s, French CO2 emissions stand around 4.5 tons in 2019 compared to 5.2 tons in the UK and 7.9 tons in Germany. But rather than enjoying the benefits, France found itself importing electricity from Germany in 2022. By November, a record 26 of France's 56 reactors were shut for repairs or maintenance. Although, as of January, as of January 2nd, that figure had fallen to 15 and is expected to fall to 9 by the end of January. Meanwhile, the French government is fully nationalizing EDF, the state-controlled energy company running the power stations, to stop it going bankrupt. EDF's new boss, Luc Romont, said in October, the company faces a serious crisis. France's nuclear energy production was in August 2022, the lowest it's been for 30 years. France has been a net exporter of electricity over the past decades, but since the autumn of 2022, in light of the maintenance problems, France became a net importer for the first time, even if lower energy demand meant it became an energy exporter again in January. This makes matters worse for Europe as a whole as it faces the energy crunch caused by Putin cutting off supplies. France's nuclear plants are very important for electricity generation in Europe as a whole. So, in part, the nuclear power stations can be seen as victims of that successful response to the energy crisis. So many of them were built around the same time and relatively quickly, and so they have to undergo maintenance around the same time. So anyway, I won't go on and on. Nuclear is something that we can talk for hours and hours and hours about. Oh, wow, Jay LaMothe has never been to Utah. I thought you were in Utah. That's why you cared about it so much. And welcome, X1. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome back, Tope. I'm jumping back and forth to comm and the news. And, man, nuclear stories, I don't know why. They just fascinate me. I know they are not super exciting. But, hey, you know what? News to me. News to me, news for you. All right. Let's jump over and talk about two other quick nuclear stories, just short ones for you. I won't go through the whole thing. Basically, first, the Rockachelle reprocessing plant has been delayed again. Japan Nuclear Fuel Limited has announced that it now expects the reprocessing plant under construction in Japan's Aomori Prefecture to begin commercial operation in 2024 instead of 2022. It decided to revise the completion date due to ongoing conformity review for design and construction plans and construction works to enhance safety, complying with new regulatory requirements. And this is something that I think Publius has talked about a bunch before, but it seems to happen, this happens with nuclear way more than any other industry, and that's just that while the plant, the company will spend like $1 billion to make sure that all of its plans comply with all the safety standards and they have all the safety stuff that they need and they're ready to go. And then what happens? Oh, don't worry. About halfway through your project, we're going to completely rewrite the regulations. Has anybody made a nuclear power plant? No, but we're paying all these scientists, so we're going to keep making new regulations. Anyway, it's just a bit of a downer because this is just It's going to be another delay, and we got to have a place to put the spent fuel. And permits have been issued for final Grafenheinfeld dismantling work. Germany's Preussen Elektra has received the second and final permit for the dismantling of the single-unit Grafenheinfeld nuclear power plant, or KKG, from the Bavarian State Ministry for the Environment and Consumer Protection. The 1,275-megawatt electric net pressurized water reactor achieved criticality in December 1981 and was connected to the grid in that month. And then it operated until it was shut down in June 2015. So, yeah, that's what's going on there. As you know, or as maybe you do or don't know, Germany committed to shutting down all of its nuclear power plants because Germany was opposed to nuclear. But they were going all in with wind power and natural gas, because natural gas is a green energy, right? Sure, sure it is. Jalen Loth is just an ex-Mormon. Hey, X1, thanks for being here. Hey, you know, I was in that church for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. What a wild ride that was. I'll tell you about it one day. All right. More news. We've only got about 5 minutes to go, and if you didn't know, in 5 minutes, that's when the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts up. Happens every goddamn day. And then if you're in comm, you can just press the equal sign, press the equal key right there up near the top there on your keyboard, and boom, out will spit all the current schedule for Anon Radio. You can also go to anonradio.net, but you'll see Stug has a show coming up, DJ Stug, called Flux, and that'll be at 20 hours. And Handy C's Language Soup is at 2100 hours, and then a whole bunch of other shows happening today and tomorrow. Really, today, tomorrow, and Saturday are the big, super fun days to just listen to Anon Radio all dang day. So definitely stick around for that. It'll be a good time. All right, so what isn't a good time? I'll give you some U.S. news here. The House of Representatives, the United States government, has a House of Representatives, a Congress, or a Senate with two people from each state, and then it has, so that's the legislature, and then you've got your judicial, and then you've got like the president and the executive branch. Well, the lawmaking body is having a heck of a time. Because the House of Representatives cannot decide on a leader. There are two parties, so the party that has the most votes or the most members there, they're supposed to elect the leader of the whole body. But alas, they cannot come to an agreement, and this is the first time in over 100 years that this has happened. Essentially, they need 218 votes in the full House, and McCarthy has gotten 203 votes, less than the Democratic leader, the guy in the smaller party. He had a unanimous vote of 203 votes. McCarthy dropped down to 202 in round three, and then 201 in the sixth ballot, which is on the second day. At the end of the second day, he only had 201 votes. Detractors have warned for months that McCarthy didn't have the votes to be Speaker. The Speaker is the second in line to the presidency. And, oh, an ad popped up over my screen. But anyway, for the last 2 months, we worked together as a whole conference to develop rules that empower all members. But we're not empowering certain members over others, McCarthy told reporters. As a result, those members and others oppose him. So, without a speaker, the House can't fully form, since that person is the presiding officer and administrative head. Swearing in of members, naming committee chairs, engaging in floor proceedings, launching oversight investigations, accessing anything that's considered confidential or protected information, so they can't access any briefings from any of the security apparatus that exists. All of that, they just can't do anything until the speaker is elected. It remains unclear if McCarthy can pass the threshold to become the next speaker. So we'll find out. I'll let you know when I find out. But politically, the U.S. is in a weird way right now. And people in Texas minors, people under 18, need parental approval for federally funded birth control. But we're out of time, so thanks so much for being here. Shout out to Jeff, thanks for hanging out and being here.
So just thanks, everybody. I hope you have a good one and enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee and Flux with Stug, and we'll be back tomorrow. All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.